Hello. I'm certainly grateful for this opportunity to be here. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. I discovered America December 18, 1941. And I was born again June 14, 1960. I was married on November 24, 1961. I am grateful for a good wife and for the blessing she's been to me in the ministry. Over 7 years ago, she had some heart issues, and the doctor said, if you do not have bypass surgery, you'll have a major heart attack or stroke within 6 months to a year. I'm grateful for the hand of God and the degree of help he's given her. She still does most of the things she wants to. I'm thankful for that. She travels with me in meetings. I'm thankful for a good family. I want to say thank you for the meeting. I know that a meeting like this takes a lot of planning, a lot of energy, and a lot of expense. And I have been blessed to be here. I appreciate every message that exalted the Lord. Amen. Amen. And by the way, that's what it's all about. Amen. And I appreciate the good songs. My, what's singing. I'd like to take some of that with me on the road. I'm in a lot of churches, and a lot of the churches do not have what you have here. So you certainly ought to be praising God for it and giving him the glory. Well, my palms of my hands still get clammy. I get nervous as can be about this matter of preaching. I'm grateful that God called me to preach. And it's a high and holy calling. Out of all the millions in the world, God called you, if you're a preacher, to preach the word. And by the way, he said we're to preach the word, not our opinions. Everybody has one of those, but it's the word of God that makes a difference in our life. The Apostle Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. He was spoken of as a chosen vessel. And he made a statement that has been burning in my heart for many days. I'm not going to preach on him, just want to reference it, all right? But in the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul identifies himself as an apostle to the Gentiles. But he makes a statement right in the middle of verse number 13. He said, I magnify mine office. And gentlemen, those of you who are preachers, we can either dignify the office or demean the office. And we're living in a day where preachers have cheapened the ministry. But I would say to you, there's not a higher calling in all the world than to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul said, I want to be faithful to my call. Now, I'd like to please you, but there's one higher up that I'm more interested in. If I please him, it doesn't matter what you think. Amen. You're welcome. Could I say? He said, my desire is to be faithful to my calling. And you can't be faithful to your calling unless you're following the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not following the trends of the day, but you're following the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could I say, when God saved me, he called me, placed me in the ministry, and put some preach in my heart. I'm saying, thank God for the privilege of being a preacher. He said, you must follow the Lord.
And then you must be fervent in spirit, fruitful in service. Fulfill your ministry. Are you listening? Fulfill your, finish your course, fill your ministry, and leave an example for others to follow. I'm grateful for men like Dr. B.R. Lakin and men like Lester Roloff and men like Dr. Lee Robertson, and I could go on and on. Thank God for the impression they made upon me. Now, I'm not serving them. I'm not trying to exalt them. But the same God who saved them and called them saved me and called me. And so it does matter how I dress. Some of this crowd that's thinking, well, God's more interested on the inside than he is the outside. I want to say to you tonight, I can't see you inside. Y'all all right? It's important that we dress in such a way that we do what? Dignify the office. Y'all all right? I'm saying how important it is that we do what? Magnify our office. So God help us not to cheapen it, but help us to be an example. There's younger preachers that's watching your life and watching my life, and I certainly don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone. Well, I better say this. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The cross of Christ, it vindicates the character of God. It demonstrates the love of God. It eliminates the work of salvation. It regenerates sinners to God. It stimulates our devotion to God. It regulates our walk with God. It authenticates the message of God. And it motivates the preaching of God. Stay close to the cross. Philippians, please, are y'all in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, chapter 2, make it Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to bring just a simple little thought tonight from the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. If you'd like to stand, please, we'll read a few verses and ask God to help us tonight. And by the way, if you're helped, it'll be God. I don't have a whole sack full of help, but I'm going to say to you, I know somebody who can help. The Bible said this in Philippians 2 verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want to preach from this text tonight, and I'm going to just lift particularly one word out of it. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes the Spirit of God will just burn a phrase or maybe just a word. And when he does that, I'm looking to find out what God's trying to say to me. And by the way, I want to preach tonight on the Lord himself. The Lord himself. Would you pray with us? Father, I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be pleasing to thee. I pray in Jesus' name that you might fill us with your power. You said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We're asking by faith that you would fill us and that you might anoint these feeble lips, accomplish your purpose. I pray that you would encourage your people. If there be one here tonight outside the ark of safety, I pray that you might prick their heart and they might be born again by the grace of God. Thank you for this good church and this pastor. Thank you for what you've wrought through the years. And we know that they would say amen to the fact, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. And so I pray that you work in our midst, and Lord, accomplish your purpose. What you do, we'll thank you for. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now, on numbers of occasions in the scriptures, we read of things that was done by the Lord himself. Now, notice the text in verse 7, the Bible said, Philippians 2, verse 7, the Bible said, but made himself of no reputation. Could I say to you, it'd be a grand day in your life as a servant of the Lord if you'd cease to try to make a reputation for yourself. He made himself of no reputation. Verse 5 said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And if his mind is in me, I'll not be so much interested in building a reputation. I read in John chapter 12, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. God help us tonight to realize that our mission, our goal, our aspirations ought to be to exalt the Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so I see this. The Bible said that he made himself no reputation. Then the Bible said in verse 8 that he humbled himself. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, the scripture said, for God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made himself of no reputation, but God the Father made him sin that you and I might become the sons of God by faith. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Thank God he reached way down and lifted us up out of the horrible pit. And can I say thank God for his ministry in our life? Now, the events take on profound significance and deeply moving and instructive for us. I want you to back up with me to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter number 1, and notice with me what the Bible said in verse number 2. And it said, all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the verse 4, for who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from that present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Could I say tonight, I'm grateful that he gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Could I say thanks be to God? He looked beyond my faults and saw my need, and he suffered all my hell for all eternity that I might be made free. Amen. I'm thankful that he gave himself for our sin. In the book of Titus, I read the book of Titus. Again, it references the same thing, that the fact that he gave himself for us. In the book of Titus chapter number 2, I believe I'm looking at the right verse. In the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, who said he who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Thank God he gave himself for me. You said, well, that's very elementary. You can't get any deeper than that. When God gave his only begotten son, and his only son gave his life. He gave himself willingly. He gave himself freely. He gave himself fully that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But that's something that ought to stir our hearts again and again and again. The Holy One came down from earth. Could I say, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the Bible said, he who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Could I say it this way? In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, Brother Bob's referenced already, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Just as our peace is upon him. I'm grateful that he gave himself for me. He gave himself. So what would cause the Lord to leave heaven? A spirit in which he had shared glory with the Father from before the world was created. I would say to you, it was his love for the Father. It was not only his love for the Father, but his love for us. I'm glad that Jesus Christ loves sinners, regardless of the position, regardless of the condition, regardless of the geographics. Jesus loves sinners, and he gave himself for them. It was a love for the Father, love for us. He came to do the Father's will. He came to glorify the Father. He came to complete the work. And when he bowed his head at Calvary and said, it is finished. Redemption's plan was paid for in full. I say he came that he might save us from the guilt and penalty of sin. And so I can say, along with the Apostle Paul, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Thank God, I'm not under the curse tonight. I'm not under condemnation. I've been set free by the grace of God because he gave himself for me. He redeemed us so that we might be free from the dominion of sin and be with him for all eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. Now, I'm reminded again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Notice what it said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1. And I'm reading Hebrews 1. And I want to see verse number 3 of Hebrews, chapter number 1. Notice what he said. Who said, he said in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down with the right hand of the majesty on high. He did what? He purged our sins by himself. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. It's not the water, hallelujah. It's not the wafer, and it's not wonders, and it's not works. It's the grace of God that saved us. He purged our sins. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13, and the Bible says it this way, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm grateful that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owed. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Now, I want you to see with me another thought. He gave himself for my sin. He gave himself personally. And by the way, I know that. And I know that if you're saved, you know that. He gave himself for you. Now then, in the fact that he gave himself for my sin, I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. And I'm to glorify God, my body and my spirit. It all belongs to the Lord. But John, in the book of John, chapter 13, in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, I want you to see with me again, verse number 3. The Bible said, Jesus, John 13, 3, the scripture said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he came from God and went to God, he rises from supper. He didn't say dinner. Hello? He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel. And here's my thought again. He girded himself. It tells me this, that the Lord Jesus is vitally interested in my salvation, but he's also interested in my sanctification. Could I say to you, he girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. Now, could I say to you, he washed each one of the disciples' feet. He's interested in their lives being clean. He's interested in them being restored to fellowship. Amen. Sin breaks fellowship. You understand that? John 1 John 1 7, the Bible said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I'm saying to you, we talk a lot about sanctification, but we don't have much. We're sanctified positionally when we get born again by the grace of God, washed in the blood. We're sanctified positionally, and by the way, that's a permanent position. I'm in him. He's in me. Hallelujah. Thank God nothing can change that. But my response to his claim upon my life determines my fellowship. And so I need to be cleansed. That's why our Lord taught in what we call the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it's a daily matter of coming to the laver. Aren't you glad for 1 John 1, 9? The scripture said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I will remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that 1 John 1, 9 is not a spiritual rabbit foot. There's some things 1 John 1, 9 will not do. Are you listening to me? 1 John 1, 9 will not remove the scars of sin. They're there a lifetime. when I was a young man in the country, my brother and I was hunting, and his gun went off and shot me through the side of the leg. Bullet went in, bullet came out, but there's a scar there. And when I got saved, God didn't remove the scar either. There's a scar there reminding me where I was and what I was doing. Don't tell anybody, they'd probably lock us up tonight. But I'm saying this, 1 John 1:9 will not cause a crop failure. What you sow, you're going to reap. 1 John 1:9 cannot restore purity that's been given away in a rage of passion. Are you listening to me? 1 John 1:9 will not retrieve those words that were spoken hastily or unadvisedly. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. He's interested in my salvation. Hallelujah to God. I'm grateful for that scarlet thread runs all the way through the scripture. I'm grateful that he saved me by his marvelous grace, but he wants me to be like him. And so he deals with me about the sin in my life. He's interested in my sanctification. If I had 30 minutes to preach on, I believe I could. But I say this. He girded himself, the Lord who made all things and holds all things together, came down to earth, and the Bible said he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Could I say, what an amazing grace, could I say this, and humility that was, what an act of mercy, when he came down. Can I say, Matthew 11 and 28, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. You shall find rest unto your soul. I'm grateful for the invitation. Hallelujah. Thank God he's interested in my salvation, but he's interested in my sanctification. Now then, notice him at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15. 15th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm speaking about the Lord himself. He gave himself. By himself he purged our sins, and then he girded himself and washed the disciples' feet. But in Romans chapter 15, I see this phrase again. The Bible said in verse number 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now here's my verse. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Now I see this. He pleased not himself. I'm saying we've got folk that are feverishly working to please everybody and everything under the sun. And our Lord said, he pleased not himself. Could I tell you that Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man... Hey, I'm saying to you, no man can work. Can I remind you that Jesus Christ pleased not himself? He's on a mission from the Father of glory. He left the portals of glory with a mission in mind to go to an old rugged cross and there die on that cross that you might have life and have it more abundant. Someone in the past said Jesus didn't know what his mission was until he was 30 years old. Could I say that's blasphemy? He knew what his mission was. He said, I've come to do thy will. Lo, it's written in the volume of the book, I've come to do thy will, O God. He was interested in the will of the Lord, the will of the Father. And could I say, if you're going to please the Father, you too must be interested in his will. He said that. I have meat to eat that you know not of. And so his meat was the will of God. His merit was the will of God. His ministry was the will of God. And I say, he pleased not himself. He was ever the Father's delight. Could I say this? When he's baptized down at Jordan, John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus down at Jordan. The Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove, and the voice of the Father from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Could I say to you, if you're a child of God, you ought to be able to say the same thing of your life in my life. We please the Lord. Coming down to the close of his ministry, his earthly ministry, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John is there. Moses and Elijah is there. Somebody said, you think we'll know each other in heaven? Oh, I think we will. I don't think we'll be more dumb there than we are here. Hello? I'm saying, hey, on the Mount of Transfiguration, again, there's that voice. This is my beloved son. And I'm saying to you, what a statement. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But he could say that because his son's mission, his merit, his meat was to do the will of the Father. He pleased not himself. Now, could I say this while I'm passing by? I'm afraid we talk a lot about peer pressure for young people. But could I tell you there's peer pressure for older people too? And there's peer pressure for preachers. Hello? And so we do what we do to try to gain the respect and the favor of others. And by the way, nothing wrong with that and one side of it. But ladies and gentlemen, our priority ought to be to please our Heavenly Father. Amen. I'm telling you, you're not my measuring stick. You're not my judge. I'll stand before a righteous God and I'll give an account of my life and my ministry for the Lord. He pleased not himself. And all through his earthly ministry, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And throughout his earthly ministry, he sought above all things to glorify the Father. To glorify the Father and to do his will. Voluntarily endured reproaches, the mockery, the hatred, the enmity, and the hostility of men toward God. May God help us to be less self-centered and more God-centered in our lives. But could you look with me at another passage? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5 this time, 5th chapter, I'm talking about the Lord himself. He gave himself. By himself he purged our sin. He pleased not himself. He glorified not himself. But notice Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews 5, and I'm looking at verse 5. The Bible said, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that saith unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So he glorified not himself. Listen to me. And you understand this, I'm not picking on individual. This is a principle. I meet folks in ministry that feel like they're real important. In fact, I meet some that's so impressed with themselves that they sign their own Bibles. Could I remind us tonight that we're nothing, we're zeros with a rim rubbed on. I do not believe there'll be any peacocks in heaven. I'm saying to you, may God help you and God help me to be who we are and what we are for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was up in Kentucky preaching a mission conference, and I left the service on a Wednesday night, pulled out on Highway 27 South, and I stopped at a traffic light, and I noticed that a sheriff's car turned out ahead of me. The light changed. There was a second sheriff's car behind him. So I went through the traffic light, and I noticed the first sheriff's car pulled over to the side of the road. And when I passed by that sheriff's car, he fell in behind me. And I thought, well, I know I'm not speeding. I think all my lights are working. So just down the hill was a motel where I was staying. So I got down to the entrance to the motel, and I turned in. The sheriff's car turned in. The second sheriff's car turned in. And then he turned his lights on me. I felt led to stop. I didn't know where to get out, stay in the car. I just sat there. It seemed like for an eternity. This is the strangest thing that's ever happened to me by a police official. I waited and waited and waited, and eventually one of the deputies came up beside my car, and here's what he said. Sorry to bother you, buddy. We thought you was somebody else. I
I said, thank God I am who I am. I am what I am by the grace. Could I say to you, I'm not ashamed to be a child of God. Hey, I'm not ashamed to be a preacher man. Hallelujah. I'm saying, thank God. But my goal is not to impress people. My goal is to glorify the Father. You preachers know what I'm talking about. There's times that I've been in my civilian clothes. That is, I was in my overalls. I was coming out of North Carolina, and I was headed in to Hendersonville, North Carolina, and I got low on gas, and I stopped. That's when gas was sky high. I pulled off the road, and it was so high, and I said, Mom, I'm not going to pay that. So I got on back down close to Hendersonville, and it was running on fumes. And I said to myself, I'm going to stop at the next gas station I see. I don't care how much it costs. I'd rather have some gas than to walk. So when I turned in and filled up my car, there was a state trooper that came up. He came in. I went in to get me something to drink, and he came in where I was, and he said, where you going? I said, well, I'm headed to Sevierville, Tennessee. He said, what are you doing over there? I said, I live over there. I thought, dear God, he's writing a book. And then he said, where you been? I told him where I'd been. He said, what you doing over there? I said, I was preaching in a meeting. He said, I knew you was a preacher. I said to my wife, I said, how in the world do you think he knew I was a preacher? I was in my overalls. She said, I don't know, but it might have been that hungry look. I don't know. So I quit asking her questions like that. But I was in the barber's chair. I still believe men ought to get their hair cut and not done. Y'all all right? I was in the barber chair, and this fella came in, he was waiting his turn. When I got out of the chair, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. He said, I knew it. And I go from place to place, and folks said, I was in a Hardee's over at Trenton, Georgia, ordered me a sausage biscuit, you know. Fella sitting over there, he said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, well, yes, I am. He said, I knew it by your voice. I said, I thank God I am what I am by the grace of God. I am who I am, and I'm not trying to be somebody else. I remember the days at Tennessee Temple when everybody was trying to wear double-breasted suits like Dr. Lee Robertson and talk like Dr. Robertson. They was running 15 on Wednesday night, and they talked about having the orchestra play on Wednesday night and all. I'm saying, hey, God help us to be content to be who we are for the glory of God and do what we do that he might get all the glory. Amen. He glorified not himself. And by the way, it's important that in our preaching, our teaching, our singing, our witnessing, that we keep in mind that it's all for the glory of God. And by the way, if you keep that in your thinking, it'll help you not to get discouraged and get under the juniper tree. Why? God didn't expect you to make the seed come up. He just said, sow the seed.
Well, he glorified not himself. He did not seek self-gratification in the office of the great high priest. Now, don't you back up with me to the book of Luke. Let's see another time I see this word himself used. In the book of Luke chapter 24, you know the occasion. The Lord Jesus has arose from the dead, and the disciples on the Emmaus Road are troubled in their heart, and they're pondering. And they're confused. And so I see in verse number 15 of Luke 24, the Bible said, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now I want to say, bless his name, I'm grateful for those days
when Jesus himself draws near. Amen. There's times I'm studying and I have a question on a passage, or I have a thought and I run and I pull a commentary off and I find that the commentator had the same question I had. But I'll tell you one thing, if you be faithful to God, there'll come a time when Jesus himself will draw nigh and open the scriptures unto you, and you'll bless his name for the time when Jesus drew near. Jesus himself drew near. He drew near. He's alive. And the Lord revealed himself to them. And the Bible said, did not our hearts burn within us? I'm saying to you, have you had any of those days when Jesus himself revealed himself to you and your heart burned because of the presence of God? In their depression, he appeared. In their discussion, he assured. And in their dwelling, he abode. Could I say this? Notice, just turn the page a little bit, down to verse 27. And the Bible said in verse 27, Luke 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Could I say this? Jesus himself opened the scriptures and taught them all things concerning himself. Hallelujah. What a teacher. He taught them all things concerning himself. And by the way, he'll teach you too, if you'll listen. Now then, I want to come to the last little thought. I could be preaching at midnight tonight, but I'm not going to. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, there's another reference to the Lord himself. The Apostle Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I'm sure glad he didn't say, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Here's my verse. For the Lord himself shall descend. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now the Lord himself, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. I'm grateful that he's not sending a substitute. That same one that was recorded in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 11, the men of Galilee that was standing gazing up into heaven. He said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus won't be a substitute. This same Jesus will come again in like manner. I'm saying, thank God, he is coming again. Bless his name. It could be tonight that he breaks through the blue and cries, come up hither. Hallelujah. Thank God he's coming himself. He's not going to send a substitute. He's coming himself. You see, love of God is so great that he wants us to be with him where he is, John 17, 24. And the prospects for the world is grim. Yet for the believer, the Lord could come at any minute. And until he comes, may God help us as individuals, God help us as preachers, as churches, to seek to serve and witness for him in love, doing his will, showing love one to another, and to the lost about us. I'm grateful that the Lord himself, he made himself of no reputation, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the Jesus that I know. And that's the Jesus that I love. And that's the Jesus that I preach. And by the way, could I say to you, I'm not saying it because I preached it, but I don't believe you can improve on the message. I'm not saying the way I preached it or how I said it, but you can't improve on the message of Jesus. Jesus is all the world to me. Evangelist Lester Roloff used to sing a song like this. So precious is Jesus
my Savior and friend. To him all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me. He stood at my heart's door mid sunshine and rain, and he patiently waited an entrance to gain. What shame that so long he entreated in vain. For he is so precious to me. I like this verse. I praise him because he's appointed a place where someday through faith in his marvelous grace I know I shall see him, shall look on his face. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me.